In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom. Today is Friday, August 23rd, 2013. I'm going to go over just a little bit of what I've been going over the last 2 days, and then we'll do something new. Wherefore, seeing we are also encompassed, surrounded about by so great a cloud of witnesses, I tell you, the saints and the angels surround us, especially when we celebrate the Eucharist. I tell you, the closest place to be near your relatives who have died is at the Eucharistic altar, where they gather with Jesus. Wherever Jesus is, they are. Let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily besets us. And every one of us has a sin that besets us. Some of it is gossip, other people is impurity. There is a sin that everyone is guilty of. But lay aside every weight of sin that does easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You must know that it is a race that we are in. It is not just kind of a 100-yard dash. It's a triathlon. It's by faith. We do it by faith. We keep on moving by faith, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our salvation. Yes, Jesus Christ is the one we look after, the one we look to. You know, there is the good and there is God. The good can be the gifts of the Spirit. We do not look to the gifts of the Spirit. We look to Jesus, who is the giver. The church does look to the church so often. The church must look to Jesus Christ, not to anyone else, but to Jesus Christ, who is the bridegroom of the church. For the joy that was set before him, and I told you, you were the joy, he endured the cross, despising the shame, has sat down at the hand of the throne of God. Right now, Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, and he's praying for you. He's praying for you. You need to pray, "Amen, Jesus, for whatever prayer you have for me, I say amen." He is at the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercession for us as the great high priest. Consider him, consider Jesus, that endured such contradiction from sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. But the people in Egypt, the Coptic Christians, have gone to the point of shedding their blood. The people in Nigeria have got to the point of shedding their blood. We can't get people to come to church on a Sunday. And what about shedding our blood? Where would we be if we had to shed our blood for the sake of Jesus? Where would we be? I tell you, I don't think there'd be very many people that would be willing. You have not yet resisted unto the shedding of blood. Yes. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto us, unto children. We are children of God, bought with the price of the blood of Jesus. We are children of God who not only have accepted Jesus, but have surrendered to Jesus our whole life. Our whole life is yours, Jesus. For you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto us as children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and he scourges every son whom he receives. Let me tell you, when the Lord chastens us, he's always gentle. He's always gentle. Unless he keeps on chastening us and we don't hear it, he has to use force. I tell you, that's exactly what happened with the prophet Joel. He proclaimed that the locusts would eat the crop of the people. And my Lord, they came in like an army of locusts, and there was nothing left. And then after that happens, because they were sinful, he says, "I will restore the years that the locusts have eaten your crop. I will restore the years. There's restoration. Hallelujah. We remember what it says in the 29th chapter of Jeremiah. And this is while the people are still in Babylon. They were being chastened for 70 years. I know the plans I have for you, plans to give you a future and a hope. When you seek me with all of your heart, you will find me with you, says the Lord. So the Lord chastens us, and he chastens us lightly at the beginning. And then if we don't listen, the chastening is a little deeper, a little harder. And he does that because we are his children. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. For what son whom a father chastens not? I remember my mother and my father saying, you know, you don't touch anything hot. And they didn't burn my fingers, but they lit a match, they let it cool a little, and then they let it touch me. Ah, no more will I touch anything hot. The Lord taught me through my mother and father. It did not burn me. It did not leave a scar. It did not leave a bubble. But it was hot enough that I had to come to find out that this match was not something good to touch, or the gas jets were not good to touch. If you endure chastening, that God deals with you as sons, yes. For what son is whom the father doesn't chasten? But if you are without chastening, therefore you are not partakers of God's, but you are illegitimate, not sons. If God doesn't chasten us, we are illegitimate children, not sons. I'm telling you, God chastens those who he loves. He chastens. I remember a time when the Lord was telling me to go to the seminary, and I was bucking it. I was bucking it. And the Lord chastened me. He sent someone who was blind to tell me that I was not listening to the Lord because he was supposed to be a priest, and he never was. He says, you are kicking against the goat. I tell you, I was chastened that day, and still I didn't make up my mind, but I kept it on the forefront of my head that a blind man told me that I need to go into the seminary. And finally, I did, by the grace of the living God. And when I went, there was no more chastening. There was only a reception that the Lord gave me, a blessed reception. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh who corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather, let's see what it says, shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? This Father is so wonderful that he gave us Jesus. For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But he, for our profit, that's right, he chastens us so that we would profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. That's right. Again, he's very gentle at the beginning, but if we do not listen, he gets a little stronger. Now, no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but it seems to be grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. So it lifts, it brings righteousness, it brings productivity, it brings fruitfulness. You know, I am the vine and you are the branches. My Father trims, prunes every branch that does not bear fruit. Let me tell you, he prunes us. That's another word for chastening. And sometimes it seems like I'm down to the root. But he knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. He's God Almighty who sits at the right hand of the Father making intercession for you. Oh, I want to keep on saying that. He's God Almighty, his name is Jesus, who sits at the right hand of the Father making intercession for you. Wherefore, lift up your hands which hang down and your feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. You see, follow peace with all men with holiness, because without this peace and holiness, no one will see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail by the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Oh, the roots of bitterness. I tell you, we have a memory that remembers all the bitter things that came to us, and how someone ripped us off, how someone spoke against us, how someone did this, how someone did that. I tell you, that is a root of bitterness. I tell you, it must be uprooted in the name of Jesus. And I tell you, that person that did that has to become your friend. That's the ultimate showing of God's grace, that I have taken the root of bitterness out of my heart to the point that I have befriended the one who ripped me off. I tell you, that's Christianity. That's Christianity. That's difficult to live, but that's Christianity. And it's difficult to live, you know, because you know what I keep on remember. Remember the song, remember. Yeah, I keep on remembering. I keep on remembering. So what do? You need to start by praying for these people who have ripped you off. Even one Hail Mary a day, so that the root of bitterness will be uprooted in your life, so that you won't be thinking of them evilly, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Don't sell your birthright for pornography. Don't sell your birthright for money. Don't sell your birthright for the game. Don't sell your birthright. Jesus has given you a birthright. You are now citizens of heaven. Hallelujah. You belong to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You are already children of God. We are right now children of God. What we shall later be has not yet come to light, but we know that when it comes to light, we shall be like him. Don't sell your birthright for anything, for getting a job and hurting other people. Don't sell your birthright. It says that lest any root of bitterness springing up and give us trouble, thereby many are defiled. Esau sold his birthright for a morsel of meat. How foolish he was! For you know how that afterwards, when he would have inherited the blessing, Esau was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. For you are not come unto mount that might be touched, and the burning of fire, nor the blackness or the darkness or the tempest. That's the Mount Sinai. That's what happened when Moses went up. You have not come to the mount that might be touched, that burns with fire, blackness, darkness, and tempest. And the sound of the trumpet, and the voice of words, which the voice they heard, entreated that the words should not be spoken to them any more, for they could not endure that which was commanded. We remember that they watched from their tents as Moses went up to see God, to hear from God, to get the Ten Commandments. But they were there. They were not even able to touch the mountain. It was on fire. You have not come to that mountain. You have come unto Mount Zion. Hallelujah. The city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and with innumerable angels. Oh, yes. This is what we've come to. Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, with innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, that's Jesus, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, to all the spirits of the just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the blood sprinkled that speaks larger things than that of Abel. We have come unto Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, which there are gatherers of angels and saints, and we have come to under the sprinkled blood of Jesus. Yes, he gave forth blood and water. We have come under the sprinkled blood of Jesus, and his blood purifies us. His blood speaks better than the blood of Abel. Remember, Abel's blood called for justice, but the blood of Jesus calls for forgiveness. Forgiveness of everyone. Forgiveness of myself. Forgiveness of my parents. Forgiveness of the people who ripped me off. Oh yes, forgiveness, lest any root of bitterness remain in you. And if there is a root of bitterness in you, I'm going to tell you, God will have to chasten you. He will have to chasten you. And you have to let go of that bitterness because it's only detrimental in your life. It's only detrimental in your life. There must be repentance of that bitterness. We see Jonah. Jonah in all of his glory. I wonder if he ever let go of the root of bitterness. He sits under a gourd tree, and he still hates the idea that the people of Nineveh were saved. I wonder if Jonah accepted the forgiveness of God. I remember when he decided to go against God, God chastened him. He went into a big ship, and the ship was tossed to and fro, and they threw Jonah out, and we know that the fish swallowed him up. I tell you, please, just don't give in to the roots of bitterness. Don't give in to your own ways. Give in to the ways of the Lord. The ways of the Lord are just. The ways of the Lord are good. The ways of the Lord cause us to walk straight. Please, do not give in to any roots of bitterness. And that's difficult. I won't tell you that's difficult. That's difficult because we remember what people did to us. We remember. I tell you, when I was in one assignment, I had a very much anger toward a pastor. And the reason was he never was home. We never ate together. And it was really awful. And I told him I was going to leave because I couldn't continue with this root of bitterness. Well, the pastor completely changed. And he said, please give me a chance. And you know what? We became friends. We became friends, this pastor and I. We became friends. And when I had to leave, he says, I want an Italian and no one will do but Father Di Lorenzo. That's what he said. Let me tell you, it was very difficult to accept his agreement that he would change because I was alone and I felt like a dog, just like a dog left alone. But the man did change. Oh, you have come unto Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits just men made perfect, and to Jesus, hallelujah, the mediator of the new covenant. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. And you have come unto Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, unto the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than the blood of Abel. See that you do not refuse him who is speaking to you. Hallelujah. For if they escape not who refused him that spoke on the earth in the law, how much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven? Oh, yes, he speaks from heaven, that his blood is greater than the blood of Abel, that he gives us shalom through his shedding of his blood. Again, I don't understand why people don't talk about the blood. It is so important to preach about the precious blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. Oh, yes. And yes, whose voice then shook the earth. And now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth, but also the heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifies the removing of those things that are shaken, as of the things that are made, that are those things which cannot be shaken. And guess what? Wherefore we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken. Oh yes, the kingdom of God cannot be shaken. The kingdom of God cannot be shaken. We are receiving a kingdom of God that cannot be shaken. It is not the law of Moses. This is the Mount Zion, freedom, cleansed with the blood, mediator between God and man, Jesus Christ. We are clinging to Jesus Christ. Keep your eyes upon Jesus. Keep your eyes upon Jesus. We are inheriting a kingdom that cannot be shaken. A kingdom that cannot be shaken. You must know that. A kingdom that cannot be shaken. You know that Moses' covenant was a partial covenant, because if it were the full covenant, Jesus wouldn't have been born and he wouldn't have died. The full covenant is the covenant in the blood of Jesus. And in that precious blood of Jesus, the word comes from heaven, heaven, heaven. Take all bitterness out of your heart from heaven. Learn to love those who hurt you from heaven. Oh, yes, it's very difficult. It's almost impossible. That's why we have to borrow the forgiveness from Jesus Christ and from his cross. You see, my anger and my bitterness profits me nothing. My anger and my bitterness profits me nothing. But the forgiveness of God, the real forgiveness of God, profits me plenty. Oh, I become a shining star in this crooked and perverse generation, because I do what Jesus did. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. I do what Stephen did. Father, forgive Paul. He knows not what he does. You see, and Paul becomes the great apostle to the Gentiles. I tell you, it's all about getting out that root of bitterness, getting out that root of bitterness, and that we are part of an unshakable kingdom. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Hallelujah. Thy kingdom come, unshakable, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Oh, the earth will shake. Oh, the heavens will shake. But the kingdom is unshakable. It's an unshakable kingdom. How do we destroy the kingdom of darkness? By our faith. By our faith. And we are gathered around by a great cloud of witnesses. Saint Anthony, Saint Mary Magdalene, Saint John the Baptist, Saint Elizabeth, Saint Zechariah, Saint Francis, Saint Clare, Mother Teresa, Teresa of Avila, Teresa the Little Flower, all these people surround us, and they're rooting us to go on forward, to live by faith and not by sight. Oh yes, these saints in heaven are all around us, especially at the Eucharistic altar. They're all there, and my mother and father are there too, who went to the Lord many years ago. And not only my mother and father, but Betty and all the people I love, Mary Wilkerson. Oh, they're all there around the altar where Jesus is. There are his people. I tell you, at the altar, that's why I can be nothing but a Catholic. Where Jesus is, there are his people. Do you understand what I'm saying? Today, I ask you, could you help us with a donation? Any donation will do. I don't tell you, you've got to give me 50. You know, I've got to give me 70. I don't say that. Whatever you can give so that we can continue these broadcasts, whatever you can give so that we can continue these broadcasts, that's all we want from you, is whatever you can give. That you have been blessed by Father Tom, really by the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you have been blessed by this ministry, please bless us, and you can pay something at PayPal. www.inseason.net will bring you to PayPal, and you can put a donation on PayPal. Listen, these things I'm telling you are things that are so important. Roots of bitterness need to be taken away. Oh, yes, and it might take time. And as I said, the way we start is we pray one Hail Mary. Well, if you don't pray one Hail Mary, you pray one Our Father for the person, that this root of bitterness would be taken out of your heart, so that you would become everything God wants you to become. And it's difficult. oh, it's difficult. I'm not telling you it's easy. But that's why we need to borrow this from Jesus crucified. We need to borrow this from the crucified Lord. Our mailing address is Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. People are asking about my brother. My brother is doing fantastic. Thanks be to God. He's in remission. He's in remission, and he might even be stopping dialysis. Thanks be to God that people have prayed and prayed and prayed. Now, I have a special intention. I cannot share it with you, but you pray for my special intention so that things would really be what God wants them to be. I only want what God wants them to be. I only want the kingdom of God, which is unshakable. I want that kingdom in my heart. I want to proclaim the kingdom. I want to proclaim healing. I want to proclaim the blood. Oh, the blood of Jesus, the precious blood of Jesus. I say, why don't priests and ministers speak of the blood, the precious blood of Jesus, which is our salvation, which is our reconciliation, which is our justification, which is our sanctification. Oh, the blood of Jesus brings all those things. Blessed be the blood of Jesus. Blessed be the blood of Jesus that was shed for me. Blessed be the blood of Jesus that is holy. Blessed be the blood of Jesus that speaks more eloquently than the blood of Abel. Blessed be the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.